Hallelujah. 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 Sunday, the day that changed the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. He is risen. Hallelujah. 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 It is the very reason we celebrate, the very reason we give thanks to God for all that he has done. It's because victory was obtained on Sunday. Hallelujah. Victory was obtained on Sunday. Hallelujah. Do you have victory this morning? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is nothing greater than knowing that Jesus is alive and that he has redeemed you. Hallelujah. Me. Hallelujah. And as a result, we have life eternal. We have an everlasting Father, and he is our Prince of Peace. He enables us to live a life that the world cannot understand. But because of Jesus' resurrection, it changed everything. And you and I have all the reasons in the world to rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Well, God is so awesome and he is so amazing. He is so faithful. And we know that this is the day that the Lord has made so that we can rejoice and be glad in it. And as a result, we celebrate, we give thanks, we honor the name of the Lord. And we have been talking about the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus, being unified in the Spirit with God. Unity with God. We need to have unity with God. We need to be able to be in agreement with God. We need to be one with God. And God has enabled this to happen for you personally through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing it is. Well, we know that God is doing amazing things in our lives, and we know that Jesus has been well prepared for the mission that he had at hand. His job was to redeem the world, to redeem mankind. And this could only be accomplished with someone who had the right credentials. It couldn't be accomplished by just anyone. Well, I couldn't do it. Maybe one of you could have, but somehow I doubt it. Or maybe you would be the one. But because no man could do it, God said, I will send my son. And so Jesus said, I will go. And he came down and he became a man. He was God, but he became a man. And the Spirit of God worked through him to accomplish what no man could do in and of themselves. And that is because Jesus had the right power and authority, the right ability, the right mindset, and he had the right credentials. And so, have you ever applied for a job before and they ask you for a resume? Has that ever happened? Do you ever need a resume for a job? It's a little bit of a challenge to write a resume, isn't it? It's a little bit of an opportunity to brag about yourself. And you get to portray all of your accomplishments, all the things that you have done, that you've achieved, everything that's relevant, what your gifts and your abilities are, and what your experiences have been, what your education is, and how you are able to be the right person for the job. And when you write a resume, you don't just write a resume, you write a resume according to the position you are trying to obtain. Isn't that right? You don't have just one resume that just goes to everybody for everything, but you have a resume that highlights different things based on what the position requires. And Jesus has a resume. Jesus has a resume, and he has adapted himself in order to accomplish the job at hand, the mission at hand. You and I have ours written down on paper, just like Jesus has his written down on paper. It's there so that those who would want to know more about you would be able to examine it more carefully, to be able to understand the truths that you represent, and your abilities would be well documented. And so these opportunities present themselves so that you can obtain the position. And likewise, Jesus has his credentials documented so that he can accomplish the mission at hand with the confidence of those who get to know him. And so I would like to use as a theme today, accomplished at the cross. Hallelujah. Accomplished at the cross. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us and that you would continually reveal yourself to us in a personal way, that we would be able to know and understand who you are and to have confidence in who we are, having been purchased by the very blood of Jesus as we have surrendered our lives to you, and that you have come into our lives, into our hearts, and you have transformed us and made all things new. God, you are awesome and amazing, and we give you thanks. We give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise today, and I pray every ear would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that souls would be saved, minds would be renewed, and lives transformed by the power of God in the witness of the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What Jesus accomplished on the cross is incredible. No one on the history of this planet has ever accomplished what Jesus has accomplished. And you and I need to have total confidence in what Jesus has done. We need to have total confidence in who Jesus is. And we need to know it, not just in our heads, but even in our hearts. So much so that it governs our lifestyle, our way of living, and our perspective on the situations that we face. All of these things are filtered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of God that is at work in the midst of our lives. He is the great high priest. He is the one who stands in the gap for us. He is the one who is the mediator between God and man. And through him, he says he is the door. And you and I are able to enter in to a relationship with God because he is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so God is doing amazing things and is able to enable us to accomplish great things. And the word of God lays it out for us. The word of God is the resume of Jesus. It tells of his past, his present, and his future. And it aligns those truths with your life and mine. We all have a past, a present, and a future. And through Christ, our future is augmented into the lineage of God. Hallelujah. And God enables us to accomplish life in the same manner that Jesus also accomplished it. Hallelujah. In fact, all that Jesus has done and all that God is accredited to us, hallelujah, as the children of God. As we look in Hebrews 7:17, it tells us that Jesus is attested in that he is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, as you know from the book of Genesis, was the one who appeared before Abraham. And it says that he had no beginning and no end. There was no information available to him. He is a mystery character in the Word of God who represents God himself. And you and I can have confidence in knowing that Jesus is God himself. And he is our high priest. He is our priest, not just for a little while, but forever, forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, having no beginning and no end. He is eternal past and he is eternal future. And all of these things we are being drawn into as the people of God, and we too will have eternal life. Hallelujah. And so it tells us in Hebrews 4:14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. The objective of the world is to rob you of your confession. Satan wants to rob you of your confession. He wants to rob you of your witness. He wants you to forget who you are as a child of God. In fact, he wants to say it doesn't matter. You're no different than everyone else, but that is not true. You are born of God. And the high priest is your confession. Jesus, the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. He says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. Jesus knows what it's like to have Satan try to lure you in and try to get you to live or do something that is contrary to the ways of God. Contrary to the ways of God. And when we are able to resist the devil, the Word of God says he then flees from us. Hallelujah. When you resist the devil, he then flees. And that's what Jesus was able to demonstrate. He demonstrated it over and over again. And so therefore, let us draw near with confidence. I pray you have confidence today. Confidence. You ought to come to the throne of grace with confidence so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. Have you ever had a time of need? Have you ever had a situation or circumstances that are challenging, that are difficult to deal with? Well, the Word of God says you ought to have confidence enough to come to God. Come to the throne of God so that you can receive mercy. In other words, so that God can intervene in your behalf and help you out and bring you to a place of liberty. And so Jesus is the high priest. He is the great high priest. His priesthood is eternal, and it's in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus fulfilled the role of mediator and established the new covenant. We're in a new covenant. This is not Old Testament living. This is now New Testament living. The covenant has shifted and it has changed. And so how has it changed? Let's take a look and see what Jesus accomplished. These are all elements of Jesus' resume. This is all the things that he accomplished at the cross. Hallelujah. In Matthew 16:21, it tells us from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples. I want to put an emphasis on that he showed them, right? It's clear that he showed them. He didn't just tell them, but he showed. In other words, he modeled the way. And then he explained things to them to make sure that it was clear what he was saying. It says he explained that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and even be killed, but be raised up on the third day. Hallelujah. Now, when you hear something like this, I'm sure the disciples were like most people, and they were thinking, okay, he, clearly there's something crazy about what he's saying here, but we're just going to let it go. And they just let it go. And even though Jesus is making it very clear what his mission was, and that's what God does. God gives us each a mission, and he makes the mission clear. We are to have a clear mission. You ought to know what is on your resume as a child of God. What has God gifted you with? What has he called you to? What is it that you are looking to accomplish? The word of God has given us all a charge, as Shalay read earlier. She said, to go into all the world to preach the gospel and make disciples. Hallelujah. That is the mission of every believer. It is the mission of the people of God. It is a kingdom mission. And so verse 19 of John 2 tells us, Jesus then answered the scribes and the Pharisees and the people that were around him. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days, I will raise it up. I will raise it up. Here he is. He's letting them know. Letting the world know, the people around him in the community and the religious leaders. He's revealing a truth that this is what's going to happen so that when it happens, you can't say you didn't know that God was going to be raised up in 3 days. And so he even tells us in Matthew 12, 40, just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So over and over again, we see this testimony, this revelation of what Jesus is about to do, why he is here on earth, what his mission is, what it is that he is all about. And you and I ought to be about our Father's business. We need to be about our Father's business. Jesus understood this because he knew that life was more than just 70, 80, 90 years, maybe 100 or more if you have some kind of strength. Hallelujah. Jesus knew he was eternal. He knew that all power was in his hands. He knew that he was able to do abundantly more than people could ever even imagine. And so he fulfilled his mission. Jesus foretold his resurrection to the disciples. He referenced Jonah even as a sign of his resurrection after 3 days. Here is Jesus prophesying about what he is about to do, what is about to happen. This is a great thing to have confidence in. All you had to do if you had doubts was just say, well, let's see. We'll wait and see what happens to this guy. And so Jesus' prophecy was then laid out even by himself, which tells us that not only did God speak of him and declare his coming, but Jesus himself knew his mission after he got here. He knew what he was about. And you and I need to have the same confidence in our lives. We ought to know what our lives are about, who we are. We represent the kingdom of God. We are carrying out the mission of Christ, the Great Commission that tells us to go into the world and represent God's kingdom. And we need to have full confidence in knowing that it was accomplished at the cross. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the Spirit within us. Hallelujah. It's about the power of God working through us. And we decrease so that he can increase. Oh, this is why when the disciples came to the tomb, the women who met at the tomb in Luke 24, verse 6, it says that the angel said to him, he is not here, but he has risen. And then he says, remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee? Wait, how did the angel know all these details? Because all of the kingdom of heaven was watching and was aware. And so here is this angel speaking and talking about all that Jesus said and did. And it says that he was saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Hallelujah. Rise again. Saints of God, it was always meant for Jesus to die and rise again. Hallelujah. And I would submit to you, that is your future. Your future is not to die, but to rise again. Hallelujah. You will live eternally. You will have life, everlasting life. You will transition from this kingdom to the next. Hallelujah. God has spoken it, and so it shall be. In Acts 2:24, it says, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. The agony of death has been brought to an end for the believer, for those of us who have Christ indwelling us. It says, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Death could not hold Jesus down. It could not hold him down. There was no way for the enemy of our souls to rob him of his everlasting life. But he was held. And this is what God is doing for each and every one of us. That's what he's doing for you and what he's doing for me. He has given us a life that cannot be held down. And when the Spirit of the Lord is in you, oh boy, he's always stirring. He's always working, and it cannot be held down. The witness of God will arise, and it will shine, and his glory will be revealed even through you and me. God will not be able to be held down if Christ is truly in you. It will eventually be revealed that Jesus is your Savior. Hallelujah. And so in verse 25, it says, David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, the Word of God says. That is, the right hand is the side of authority. It represents the place where you are a ruler. You rule from the right hand. It relates to righteousness and truth and justice. Hallelujah. And God is able to operate from that place, and he will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just as David said, he will not be shaken, you should not be shaken either. I am not being shaken. You and I will not be shaken. We will hold on to the truth of Christ and who he is, because his resume is clear. Not only does he have the resume, but he's got the position, and he's carrying out the work. Hallelujah. And he's carrying out the work. Glory to God. And he's doing an excellent job. Hallelujah. I must say, he is doing an excellent job. In fact, the Word of God says he got a promotion. Yes, he did. He got a promotion. It says he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. He's seated in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. And saints of God, I pray that you have a promotion coming. I pray that you have a day when you too will be lifted up into the presence of God. Verse 26 says, therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope. Hallelujah. Is your flesh living in hope? Are you living in hope today? Oh, we have hope. Why? Because we know that Jesus accomplished it at the cross. You and I are able to stand and able to have confidence in life as we do all that we do, because we know we are not alone, but the Lord our God is with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. And we will live in hope. We are living in hope. And so verse 32 of Acts 2 says, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. And so here are the disciples declaring that they are witnesses as they're preaching the truth of what God has done. And all these things that took place in the upper room. And as Peter spoke, and he is declaring all these things to the multitude, because it's amazing and it's incredible what Jesus has done. I don't know about you, but that ought to make you glad and excited every day of your life. It ought to stir something in you. We need to remind ourselves that it was accomplished at the cross. Hallelujah. No matter what you will go through, it was accomplished at the cross. Romans 1:4 says, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to accomplish with the same resurrection power that Jesus did? Oh, saints of God, you need the Spirit of holiness. Hallelujah. The Spirit of holiness. Jesus, he is the one who imparts that Spirit. You know that the Spirit that Jesus imparts is called the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Well, there's a reason it's called the Holy Spirit. He is holy. Hallelujah. And that makes you holy. Oh, when you give your life to God, you are holy. You are holy. That's why they chant in the throne room of God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, who is and was and is to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, it's because God is holy. He has been set apart. He is like no other. And you and I have been set apart. We are set apart. That's what it means to be holy. You're set apart. You're not just some random thing that can be used any kind of way. The devil can't just have his way with you. People can't just have their way with you. When people interact with you, they're interacting with someone who is holy. Hallelujah. You are holy. You're set apart for God's purpose, sanctified for God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Hallelujah. Oh, understand the power and the authority that dwells within you. You are a child of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And there is nothing greater than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the angel confirms that Jesus is risen, just as Jesus said. Peter preached that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies that were laid out in the Old Testament, and his resurrection declared him as the Son of God. Hallelujah. Because no one else had the power to rise from the dead. Hallelujah. But Jesus accomplished it. Hallelujah. He accomplished it because he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. In Psalm 16:10, it says, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Sheol is hell. Hallelujah. Nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. And here is a prophetic word. Jesus did not undergo decay because he conquered death. Hallelujah. Oh, they put him to death. They put him to death and they buried him in the tomb. Death grabbed him. Hallelujah. And has tried to hold him down. Tried to keep him down, tried to allow, keep him from fulfilling his mission and his calling. But Jesus just got up, hallelujah, and he conquered death. He threw him off, hallelujah. He is victorious. There was no way for death to hold him down. And neither was he able to endure decay because he came back to life. And saints of God, you too have life everlasting. And the word of God said, even if you die, you shall live. Hallelujah. Oh, this body will decay. The body will decay. It has to. It's just full of sin. Anybody got a body just riveted with sin? Oh, yeah, everybody. Hallelujah. Those who are laughing, we say, yes, that's so true. Those who aren't laughing going, oh God, it's worse than I thought. Hallelujah. Yes, our bodies are riddled with sin. Our body wants to do the thing that the Word of God says that we should not do. And our thinking is not proper. And so we need to have our mind renewed by the Word of God. It transforms our life. And this is what Jesus has accomplished for us. He modeled it for us. And Jesus was not abandoned, but he came back to life. Isaiah 53:10 says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offering and he will prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper his hand. Hallelujah. This is what is being spoken of Jesus. God accomplished the mission. Jesus accomplished the mission. It is clear that this was his mission from the very beginning, from the days of old. And so verse 11 says, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. Have you ever been satisfied by anguish? Woo. I don't know anybody who's been satisfied by anguish. When you go through anguish, it's not satisfying unless you know it has a purpose that's going to bring liberty, that's going to bring freedom, that's going to bring victory to the world. And God was in that position. It says, by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. Saints of God, our iniquities have been borne, and it was accomplished at the cross. Jesus bore our iniquities, our sinful condition, our the things that we do that displease God, our way of living and operating that is contrary to God. God says, I am going to bear them. This is the weight of what Jesus was carrying on the cross. Oh, and it was why he cried out, Eli, Eli, labathami, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the reason. It was the fact that he was bearing our iniquities. Jesus was able to bear them. He did it, and he accomplished it at the cross. And it tells us in Hosea 6:2, he will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. Hallelujah. The saints of God, you have this witness that Jesus was raised up according to the testimony of the Lord himself. The historical evidence is clear that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was to die and be raised up so that we might live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus died. He died so that we would have the opportunity to live. You just got to receive him. Hallelujah. 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 After you do a good day's work, you want a good day's pay. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Anybody want to work for nothing? Hallelujah. No. You want a good day's pay. And when we work, we are looking for a return on our investment. Well, Jesus accomplished the work, and we are the return on his investment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross mean nothing to you. Make sure you are a good return on Jesus' investment and allow God to be glorified in how you live your life, so that you can live it uprightly before him in communion and in fellowship with God. Oh, there is nothing greater than having that opportunity. And so God would not let his Holy One see decay. It was prophesied in the Old Testament prophecies. It says after suffering that he would see the light of life. That's what Isaiah tells us. It foreshadows revival after 3 days, according to Hosea. And it symbolizes the 3 days in the tomb, in the belly of the great fish, the sea monster is the literal translation, in Jonah. And saints of God, you and I are in a position of favor. Hallelujah. We're in a position of favor. You don't do all of this for people you don't care about, for people you don't love. This level of sacrifice was committed in order to redeem those whom he loved. You and me. You and me. It is personal. It's personal. God wants you to know that his resume speaks for itself, and he is worthy of the position as your Lord and Savior. He is worthy. And so Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Christ had not been raised, our faith is worthless. He says, you would be still in your sins if this didn't happen. Today is the highest holy day on the Christian calendar. It represents everything that the Word of God is all about, that it even is the whole purpose behind it. It all culminates with what Jesus accomplished at the cross. Hallelujah. You and I, we need Christ. Without Christ, you're still in your sins. Without Jesus, you are lost eternally. Without Jesus, you have no hope. There's no other way. There is no redemption that is even available to you because you don't have the qualifications to do it on your own. We need Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus, the resurrected one. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53:5 says he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastising of our well-being fell upon him, that by his stripes, his surgings, we are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus accomplished it at the cross. We are healed. We are made whole. The word there, healed, whole, complete. We are restored. That is both physically and spiritually. You are restored as a being who is set apart for God's own use, and you have the power and the ability to operate as a child of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. It tells us in Matthew 8:16, when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Hallelujah. With a word. The word of God will deliver you. The word of God will deliver you. Hallelujah. The word of God is a word of delivering power. And when you align your life and your lifestyle with the word, Satan has to release his grip on you. He has to release his grip on you. You and I, we know the liberating power of Jesus. It's not just a mental thing. It is an experience when Christ comes in you and he flushes you clean. Hallelujah. He flushes you clean. And it tells us that he healed all who were ill. Jesus is a great healer. He is the healer. He is the healer. Hallelujah. We know that God is able to heal, deliver, and set free. All we have to do is align our ways with the ways of God. So often, people want the blessing of God or the move of God or the delivering power of God, but they don't want to change their ways to align with the ways of God. And God knows that that's a matter of the heart. And when the heart is not in alignment, is not unified with God, then you will not yield a divinely powered, empowered result. You will just be speaking words. The word of God says, a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And you and I need to align our ways. We need to do things the way God has instructed us to do them in order to reap the benefit of the overall blessing of God. This is what was accomplished at the cross. This was to fulfill, Matthew 8:17 says, what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Hallelujah. Just in case you didn't understand it when Isaiah said it, here it is in Matthew, and it's being brought back again. Hallelujah. There is no doubt he took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. That's what happens when you align yourself with the ways of God. And when you see the workings of God manifested in your life, it will cause you to bring glory to his name. You will magnify him. And so his impact on salvation and healing is clear. He secured eternal life through victory over sin. Hallelujah. A healing and restoration through atonement. And you and I, we experience spiritual and physical renewal through his sacrifice that he accomplished on the cross. Hallelujah. You and I are reaping the benefits of Jesus taking the position in your life and in my life as Lord and Savior, as the one who has redeemed us. My Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. And he is always with me. Matthew 12:8 says, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Are you tired? Are you weary? Oh, the Word of God tells us that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the day of rest. It was a time that God established for people to rest. And when Christ comes into your life, he gives you a peace that no man can understand, the Word of God says. This is what happens when you align your ways to God and you allow the Word of God to renew your mindset, to think from God's perspective, and then you are able to follow the plan and the will of God, and it brings peace. It brings peace. Hebrews 4:9 says, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Hallelujah. You can't work your way into heaven. Hallelujah. We rest in the everlasting arms of Jesus. We are trusting in him. We're not trusting in our own ability, in our own way. We're not looking and trying to figure it out. We know that Jesus accomplished it at the cross. And as a result, we have rest. Hallelujah. We have rest, and we are able to trust in the name of the Lord. Romans 8 tells us, Paul says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Through his spirit who dwells in you. Do you have the spirit of the Lord in you today? Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, there is something about having the Spirit of the Lord within you. Oh, my Lord, you can't deny it. Hallelujah. You can't deny it. You might try. You might say, well, the Lord isn't with me. Holy Ghost starts going, You start going, yes, Lord. Okay, okay, Lord. Okay, okay, okay. Hallelujah. Has that ever happened to you? Hallelujah. Well, some of you. Well, I tell you, God has a way of revealing himself in our lives, a way of enabling us to have confidence in knowing that he is with us and that he will not leave us or forsake us. Paul says in Colossians 2:16, therefore no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. All these things are a mere substance that are a shadow of things to come. Jesus fulfilled it, and he accomplished it at the cross. And so now, Jesus is your Sabbath rest. Hallelujah. Jesus has become your Sabbath rest. Hallelujah. Now you have an everlasting rest. Hallelujah. In the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, the Word of God says. His resurrection secured eternal rest for believers. You and I have a peace that will last for eternity. His power renews and restores. All you need is the power of God to kick in your life, and you will become renewed and restored. It says even that the Sabbath day was a shadow pointing to Christ. That's what Paul says to the Colossians. And you and I need to have confidence in knowing that we can celebrate on Resurrection Sunday the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus' death and resurrection accomplished many profound things. Many profound things. The first one is expiation, which is that his death removed sin and guilt, and he fulfilled the prophecies that declared this truth, the resume that showed for itself. Your sin and the guilt should be washed away. Hallelujah. When Christ comes into your life, God doesn't see it anymore. Hallelujah. The devil may remind you of it, and it may be part of your physical mind, but God says it's hidden in the cross. Hallelujah. It's hidden in the cross. Jesus' death and resurrection also accomplished the propitiation of your sins. It satisfied God's justice, turning wrath into favor. Hallelujah. We move from the wrath of God to a position of favor with God. This is what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Hallelujah. We also can see that reconciliation took place. God accomplished reconciliation. We're reconciled to God. It restored humanity's relationship with God and removed alienation from God. Without Christ, you're alienated from God. God doesn't know you. You hear people all the time, do you know the Lord? Oh, yes, I know the Lord. But that's not the question. The question is, does the Lord know you? You see, the Lord has to know you. And the only way the Lord is going to know you is if you've been reconciled to God. You and I, we need to be reconciled with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are no longer alienated, but we have been reconciled. Also, he accomplished redemption. His sacrifice paid the price to free the people from sin's bondage. We've been reconciled to God. Have you been reconciled? Have you ever experienced reconciliation? Have you ever had an issue or a problem where you were at odds with someone? Oh, that's the way humanity is when it comes to God. Humanity is in a sinful condition, a condition that alienates them from God. But through the redemptive work of the cross of Jesus, we are able to be reconciled and we are redeemed. Hallelujah. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Oh, his sacrifice paid the price. He paid the price. Your sin debt has been paid so that you can be released from bondage. Hallelujah. So that you can be set free from bondage. You ought not be in bondage. All you need to do is walk in the freedom that Christ has imparted to you. He accomplished it at the cross. Hallelujah. And so there is also victory over death. Oh, this ought to make you really glad. This ought to really make you glad. Hallelujah. Trust me, I know about this. You have victory over death. God is able to bring life to you. In fact, the life is with you and it never leaves. His resurrection proved his power over death. He secured eternal life for those who believe. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Do you believe that he is the one who has conquered death, giving victory not only for himself, but obtaining victory for you? Hallelujah. We have victory over death. Hallelujah. So what are you afraid of? Hallelujah. What are you afraid of? You say, you're not afraid of death. I'm afraid of the mechanism of death. But it's God who will enable you to make it through. Hallelujah. Jesus' death and resurrection accomplished many profound things. And even the declaration of his divinity. That means you should be able to have confidence through his resurrection, because it confirmed that he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And so we ought to rejoice today. We ought to rejoice because he not only did all those things, but he imputed the righteousness, all that he accomplished for himself, it is imparted to us. Hallelujah. So his resurrection allows us to be justified by faith. Do you have faith this morning? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you have faith in what he accomplished, the resurrection of the dead? All of these aspects highlight how his sacrifice was not just about the forgiveness of sins, but also about transformation, transforming you and me, our life, our state of being, and who we are, our very identity. And he offers us, those who believe in him, a new life and eternal hope. Do you have eternal hope today? I pray that you have eternal hope, that you have confidence in knowing that the death and resurrection of Jesus has fulfilled prophecy. It is bringing eternal victory over sin, death, and striving. You're striving to make it, to get through. His resurrection proves spiritual restoration, and it establishes him as the great high priest. He is the one standing in the gap for you and me, and he offers us eternal Sabbath rest. Hallelujah. Jesus accomplished it at the cross. You ought to have assurance today, because the resume of Jesus is very clear. The resume of Jesus, not only is it spelled out, but you can have confidence that he didn't exaggerate in any way. He didn't try to stretch the truth about it. He was speaking as it is. And the resume of Jesus, when you examine it carefully, it testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. He is worthy of the position of Lord and Savior in your life. All you need to do is examine the evidence. Look at what he has accomplished at the cross, because he is your great high priest, and he has the ability to set you free and to redeem you and to make all things new, because Jesus is the Son of God, raised from the dead, our risen Savior, who will live forever, and you and I with him for all eternity, to the glory of God for the ever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Open up.
Open up your eyes and look around you. This is the place where your freedom is found. Take a minute, breathe it in, let your life turn upside down.
This is
the good news. If you're breathing, it's for you. An empty grave, a life that changed. It all points to Jesus' name. If you've been searching and nothing's been working,
we'll be right back.
Well, Jesus is a risen Savior. He's not just some religious figure, not just another name in a long list of people who represent some type of religion, but Jesus is the Son of God. His resume stands for itself, and you can check his witnesses, his references. They will all testify. All those who know him for themselves, they can testify of the reality of who he is. Some 2,000 years later, we are still bearing the testimony of his name because we are witnesses to the truth that Jesus has risen from the grave. I pray that you are carrying this message everywhere you go, and that no matter who you meet, no matter what you do for a living, that you are bearing the witness of Christ and you are testifying of who he is and what he has done in your life and how he is the Savior of the world. All we need to do is trust in him. Examine all of the evidence. The resume speaks for itself, and all of the testimonies of the witnesses are clear and sure and can be accounted for. They are not hearsay. They are indeed first class references. And we have been the witnesses that God has called us to be. So let God use you today. Let his name be exalted through you in your life. Let your life be a reflection of Christ's resurrection power, his glory, and his honor, that the world may see and know that the word of God is true and that Jesus truly is our risen Savior, who is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine, because he is the risen Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you as you go today, and may your Resurrection Sunday be a day that honors the Lord and brings glory to his name. Celebrate and rejoice in all that he has done for you. And take it personally that Jesus loves you and he cares for you. He gave his life for you so that you might live and accomplish all of these things that we've discussed here today because of his care for you. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we just ask, oh Lord, that even as we depart from this place, that you would be glorified and honored in all that we do, that your spirit would arise in us. Fill us, Lord, strengthen us, empower us, renew us, and revive us over and over again as we give out, pour back in, that we might be an everlasting testimony as to the reality of the righteousness of God and the love of Christ through what he accomplished on the cross, and that we might be his witnesses to that fact, not only for today, but for every day, henceforth, forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, this is a good.